Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit OlatheKia.com.
This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB, as we broadcast live from Chiefs training camp in St. Joe, Missouri. This is hour number three for us. Hour number three of the 5 hours we are doing today. I'm going to take you up until 5 o'clock, and then Alec Trost and Darren are going to take over and take it all the way down to 7 o'clock. So we'll have the Chiefs covered top to bottom of this first open practice. By the way, I was just noticing the starters in the defensive backfield. Charvarius Ward was running with the ones, and then when they switched out to a nickel package, Kendall Fuller came in. So a little early experimentation with the defensive backs. We'll have to see. We're going to read into everything. We're just going to see one play and think that's done. That's what the starting lineup's going to be. Just write it down. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show, and it is absolutely crazy out here on the campus at Missouri Western. It's packed. I mean, there are so many people out here, and people are coming by to pick up our magazine. It's the 2019 Football Insider. Please come by our broadcast location and pick it up. It's a high-gloss magazine. Patrick Mahomes on the cover. You got some nice pages on the inside that are clean. You can get autographs on after practice from the players. It does not cost anything. I have people coming up saying, how much do they cost? Chris, how much do the magazines cost? I'm like, they're free. Just take them. You don't need permission. So lots of good stuff going on here in St. Joe. Right now we're going to talk a little college football with Stephen Lassen from Athlon Sports. Stephen, how are you on this Saturday afternoon?
I'm doing great. It's good to talk to you. You know, you're mentioning training camp. We're only a month away, you know, less than a month away from college starting. So it's getting down there. It's good to have football back.
August 24th is the first day of college football. I've got it circled on the calendar.
You and me, and both of us.
And I think it's that Florida-Miami game off the top, and then it's Arizona and Hawaii for the late game. I'm not all that interested in that, but I'll probably fall asleep watching it. That's all right. Hey, Stephen, I was reading a couple of articles that you've posted on Athlon Sports, and one of them is the top 25 breakout quarterbacks for the season. Before I get to your list, though, I'm going to ask you to go back down memory lane a little bit since we're here at Chiefs training camp. And what were your impressions of a young Patrick Mahomes II when he was at Texas Tech?
He was incredibly exciting, you know, as Chiefs fans are certainly seeing over the last season. And, you know, when he was at Texas Tech, I mean, you know, he just threw the ball all over the field, the unique arm angles, the arm strength, the prolific stats that he put up in Cliff Kingsbury's offense. So he was just fun, exciting, and not to mention, you know, he would have benefited if Texas Tech had some better offenses. But he was just one of the more entertaining and fun college players that I think I've seen in the last, you know, 5 to 7 years.
And going back to that draft real quick, you know, it was him and Deshaun Watson after Mitchell Trubisky, and the Bears may be happy with that at some point. But when it came to the Chiefs trading up, I didn't know what they were going to do. Nobody knew what they were going to do. But I think a lot of us had Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson in that spot. And knowing what I know now, I'm glad the Chiefs went with the way they thought. But at the time, I would have been happy with either one of them. I thought they were both terrific college quarterbacks who were made to play in the National Football League.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think thinking about that draft, Deshaun Watson, you know, there's always the thought, well, Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, they played in spread offenses in college. But, you know, you separate the quarterback from the offense and you see the skill set, the smarts, the arm strength, the accuracy, and everything that goes along with it. And you say, you know, this guy can work in the NFL. It's not a spread thing. He's legitimately got the talent and the tools. So I thought Deshaun Watson would have probably been the first quarterback off the board, followed by Mahomes and then Trubisky. But, you know, it certainly worked out well for Chiefs fans. And either way, the NFL with Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, their development's going to be really fun to watch, especially from the college perspective, seeing what they did and then how they're thriving in the NFL right now.
and how that benefits. Throw in Baker Mayfield in that group too, even though he was in a later draft. Just young, exciting quarterbacks who were great college players and then made the transition to the National Football League. We're speaking with Stephen Lassen from Athlon Sports. We're talking college football, and I got your list here of the top 25 rising quarterbacks for the year. And I won't go through all 25, but I thought maybe we'd look at the top 10. Do you want me to build momentum and suspense by starting at 10 and building to 1, or just dive right in and start with number 1?
Hey, let's dive in and start at number 1. I'm good with that.
Okay, number 1, and I'll be honest with you, I'm a little surprised, but not all that much, because I thought he had a great freshman season. But you've got Adrian Martinez from Nebraska as the number 1 rising quarterback. And look, I don't take that to mean you think he's going to be the best college quarterback. He's just the guy who's on the rise right now at the top spot.
That's absolutely right. You know, Nebraska was one of the most improved teams in college football in the second half of the season, finished 4-2 over their last six games after an 0-6 start. And a big reason why was Adrian Martinez. You know, his development was critical for Nebraska last season, but it's also critical going forward, because you look at that schedule for Nebraska, it's really favorable this year. They can contend in the Big Ten West. And I think, you know, we talked about Patrick Mahomes and the skill set and how exciting he is. Adrian Martinez is that way, too. His ability to slide around in the pocket, make plays with his legs, make plays with on the run, throwing the ball downfield, too. And, you know, just overall, just a fantastic freshman season. And I think what we're saying is he goes from maybe being a top 35 quarterback to be in one of the top 10 to 15 in college football. I think he's got a chance to be one of the top 10 in the nation, and certainly maybe the best in the Big Ten by the end of the year.
And to make another Patrick Mahomes comparison, a lot of folks talk about Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and how they're such a good fit together. With Adrian Martinez, did he get it to Nebraska at the right time with Scott Frost coming in?
He absolutely did. You know, you go back to Scott Frost and what he did at Central Florida. Mackenzie Milton ended up making a big-time jump in his development from a freshman to a sophomore and was instrumental in turning around that program. Scott Frost is one of the top quarterback gurus in college football. We saw it at Oregon and how instrumental he was in developing that offense. And it's already started at Nebraska. I mean, their offense got better over the course of the season. And certainly having a full offseason now to work under Scott Frost is going to be huge for Martinez.
We're speaking with Steve Lassen from Athlon Sports, talking college football here. We're talking top 25 rising quarterbacks. So we got number 1. Number 2, you have Justin Fields at Ohio State. And obviously he's making the transition. He spent time at Georgia backing up Jake Fromm. But as we all know, if quarterbacks get any hint that they're not going to be the starter, they move out pretty quickly. Is Ohio State the right landing spot for him?
I think it is. You know, I think the key word at Ohio State this offseason is transition. It's Urban Meyer to Ryan Day. It's Dwayne Haskins to Justin Fields. And we saw the type of impact that Ryan Day had on Dwayne Haskins last year. First-year starter, over 50 touchdowns through the air, just an all-around prolific season. Justin Fields is an interesting skill set. He's a little bit different than Dwayne Haskins. The fact that he can make plays with his legs on the ground. He has a big-time arm, maybe not as polished yet as Dwayne Haskins, but certainly the talent is there. Ryan Day has already showed that he can develop quarterbacks, so it's a really good fit for both sides. And I think Justin Fields starts to realize some of that five-star potential that he showed in high school this season at Ohio State.
All right, number 3 on your list, and I really like this one because, you know, covering the Big 12, I'm a native of the state of Iowa. I only lived there till I was 6, so I didn't grow up there. I grew up in Kansas City, and I'm an Iowa Hawkeye fan, but I appreciate when Iowa State can put together something pretty good. They have a great coach in Matt Campbell for as long as they can keep him. I hope they do. I don't know, because there are going to be big schools coming after him. But what he was able to do working with Brock Purdy last year was fantastic. I mean, they had a top-tier college wide receiver, but Brock Purdy really kind of exploded last year.
He really did. You know, you think back to last season, and his first impression was the game against Oklahoma State, and he came in and led them to the road win, throwing for over 300 yards. I mean, that's a pretty impressive first impression. But not only that, he just got better over the course of the season, and he's one of the better, you know, quarterbacks at Iowa State that I can remember in recent years. But, you know, you mentioned it with Hakeem Butler. He's gone. David Montgomery's gone. Iowa State needs Brock Purdy to step up this year. And based upon what we saw last season, he was efficient. He got better over the course of the season. They are going to be able to lean on him even more this year. And Iowa State's got a great defense, too. So, you know, we at Athlon Sports, we ranked Iowa State in our top 25, which is a projection to the end of the season. That's the first time in Athlon Sports history we've had them in there. And I think that's a credit to Matt Campbell and, of course, Brock Purdy's development this year.
And if you're hearing that sound in the background, Steven, that's our Chiefs fans who are doing the tomahawk chop right now up at training camp, because they're just this is game day. This is close to as game day as I've seen at training camp in 20-something years. It's crazy today. We're speaking with Steven Lass from Athlon Sports. We're talking about the top 25 rising quarterbacks going into the season, and an interesting pick at number four, also with a Big 12 tie, Alan Bowman from Texas Tech. And look, Texas Tech has turned them out one after another after another, and even the guys they didn't turn out, they went to another school, and they get turned in one after another after another. But Alan Bowman was pretty good last year. He battled some injuries, but he'll be under a new head coach this year with their play caller, David Yost. He'll have to tweak a few things.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned, you know, Justin Fields earlier and the transition that's going on at Ohio State. And there's the same thing going on at Texas Tech. But there's a strong track record of success for quarterbacks. I mean, you can just go back to the start of the Mike Leach era, and quarterbacks at Texas Tech just put up huge yards and totals and everything that goes with it. But we saw last year out of Alan Bowman, I mean, he torched Houston early in the year, throwing for over 600 yards. Later in the season, you think back to that game against Oklahoma. I mean, had he stayed healthy, that game might have been different for Texas Tech. So I think we're putting him on this list saying that he goes from being pretty good and known by Big 12 fans to being one of the top 20 to 25 quarterbacks and being more known nationally. Has to stay healthy. But overall, I think the transition period from Cliff Kingsbury to Matt Wells will be pretty small for this offense. It's still going to be another high-scoring group.
As somebody who covers college football, were you at all stunned that Cliff Kingsbury could go from getting fired to getting a coordinator's job at USC and then a week later become a head coach in the National Football League?
I was a little surprised. You know, I will say, I think one thing that Cliff Kingsbury will benefit from, he is a very sharp X's and O's coach, and I think not having to recruit and not necessarily having to figure things out on the defensive side of the ball, he can kind of leave that to a coordinator or someone else, and especially with Kyler Murray and being tasked with developing a number one quarterback, I think this role will suit him well. I'm a little skeptical it's going to work out for Arizona. But I think as far as some of those things you look for, X's and O's, I think he'll have a little bit more time to do that, and that may benefit him.
Yeah, if you look at that offensive line in Arizona, and Kyler Murray's going to be scrambling quite a bit, a little bit. Speaking with Steven Lassen from Athlon Sports, he's got his list of the top 25 rising quarterbacks going into the season. Number five, Tommy DeVito of Syracuse. Number six, James Blackman of Florida State. And Florida State, to me, Steven, is interesting because it wasn't that long ago that Florida State was one of the top three programs in the country. Now, it's been a while, and they were okay the last couple of years, but it's been a while since people, you know, I don't want to say feared Florida State, but knew that Florida State was going to be one of the toughest games on their schedule. James Winston was there, but they've got James Blackman coming in this year to an offense that, frankly, in today's college game, wasn't very good last year.
Yeah, it was a surprise that Florida State struggled, I think, to the extent that it did in Willie Taggart's first year, finishing 5-7, and the offense really struggled. And I think a big part of that wasn't quarterback play, it was more on the offensive line. I mean, you can watch a Florida State game, and as soon as the quarterback snaps the ball, I mean, it's like the defensive line had just already broken through, and the quarterback is on the ground or scrambling. I think this season, Florida State's offensive line and entire kind of architecture on offense is better. They brought in Kendall Briles, formerly of Baylor, Houston, FAU. I think this offense is going to be better. And if you think back to 2017, when DeAndre Francois was the quarterback for Florida State, he was hurt in that season opener against Alabama. James Blackman was the guy that replaced him and played pretty well for a true freshman. He redshirted last year, and I think he fits this offense. He's mobile, he's got a good arm, and I think the way that Florida State plans on turning up the tempo, I think, will help. That being said, Florida State's still pretty far behind Clemson in the ACC right now.
Yep, absolutely. I'm going to skip down to number 9 on your list of rising quarterbacks going into the season because it's an interesting program. You've got Tyler Johnston III from UAB. And look, Stephen, this is a program that was dropped, right, what, 3, 4, 5 years ago completely?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And now they've got a rising quarterback that could be one of the top players in the country?
Yeah, what a crazy story. I mean, UAB, you know, kind of an interesting dynamic between Alabama and UAB and kind of fighting over the program within the state of Alabama. But UAB, Bill Clark, who's the head coach there, he went 6-6, I believe, after the 2014 season, and they shut the program down. Well, after being out a year away from football, they came back, and then you know, they ended up progressing all the way last season in their second year back from not having a team. And this isn't a situation where they had 40 guys sitting around waiting to come back. I mean, they were completely starting from scratch. They had, I think, less than 10 players who were there on the last team. So Bill Clark started in building the roster from scratch. They went to a bowl game in 2017, and then they won Conference USA last year, and they lose a lot of those key pieces, but in terms of Conference USA, you have to bank on UAB and Bill Clark figuring things out. And we like Tyler Johnston as a breakout quarterback. Big performance in the bowl game, strong arm, mobile. I think he's going to be an all-Conference USA type of quarterback this year.
We're speaking with Stephen Lassen from Athlon Sports. College football is his list of top 25 rising quarterbacks going into the season. And at number 10 is another interesting choice, Hunter Johnson of Northwestern. There's so many tie-ins to this, so let me lay a couple of the storylines out. As you note in your story, he was once at Clemson. He was a five-star guy. He backed up Kelly Bryant, decided to transfer to Northwestern. He now is eligible to play. Kelly Bryant left Clemson last year after, you know, the four games, so he wouldn't lose a redshirt possibility, and he ended up at Mizzou. And just as a personal note, I'm a fan of T.J. Green because he's the son of Trent Green, former Chiefs quarterback, and I saw T.J. play a lot in high school at Rockers High School, my alma mater. So there's a lot of tie-ins for me with this pick at number 10 with Hunter Johnson.
Yeah, there really is a lot of interesting storylines. I mean, if you think about Clemson, and if they had Trevor Lawrence, Kelly Bryant, Hunter Johnson, and even Zarek Cooper, who was their other quarterback, is the starter at Jacksonville State at the FCS level. I mean, I don't know that we're going to see a quarterback depth chart that crowded in the future because, you know, the way quarterbacks are moving around. But Hunter Johnson is a former five-star recruit. And, you know, five-star recruits don't go to Northwestern that often. And they're coming off of a season where they won the Big Ten West Division Championship. So they're getting arguably an upgrade at quarterback in terms of talent. He played well in limited time at Clemson. He hasn't started a game, but I think based upon his skill set, his recruiting potential and upside, I mean, this is a pretty big pickup for Northwestern and a chance to be better at quarterback this season.
All right, give me kind of your spotlight on the Big 12 here, because your list is the top 25 rising quarterbacks. We have a couple of known commodities going into this Big 12 season with Sam Ellinger at Texas and Jalen Hurts transferring to Oklahoma, who's had back-to-back Heisman Trophy winners. As you look at those two, do you think one has an advantage over the other?
I like Sam Ellinger first team all Big 12 this season, but it's really close. I mean, it's hard to doubt a quarterback taking over at Oklahoma under Lincoln Riley with the skill players that Oklahoma has. But in terms of just being the MVP importance to a team. Sam Ehlinger is the best quarterback that Texas has had since Colt McCoy, and that's been a while. And last season, his development was huge. You know, getting to 10 wins, getting to a New Year's Six bowl game, scoring over 40 touchdowns. So, you know, all those things that, you know, is Texas back? Can they improve? Well, they did last season because of Sam Ehlinger. And so that's why I like him first team, all Big 12. I think Jalen Hurts is a close second. They're both top 10 quarterbacks going into the year. I will say on Jalen Hurts, he improved significantly as a passer from 2017 to 2018. So, you know, he's got big shoes to fill for Kyler Murray, but he's going to put up huge numbers in this offense.
And I tell you what, I don't know if you'll agree with me, Steven, probably, because I'm going to say something nice about Jalen Hurts. It says something about, I think when you bring a kid like that into your program, it says a lot, because he could have, you know, he started a national championship game, for crying out loud. And then he gets overlooked for the younger quarterback, who, by the way, is outstanding. No problem with that. He never complained about it, at least publicly. He did his job. He was available when they needed him to come in. And it shows what kind of team player he is. Now, when it came time to make a decision where he was going to play one more year, obviously he had to make the choice to go play where he can play. But I think that's got to be a tremendous asset to your program if you're at Oklahoma.
Absolutely. Yeah, in terms of leadership, in terms of ego and anything like that, I mean, Jalen Hurts is the perfect leader for that program. I mean, he started as a true freshman, led Alabama to the national championship game. They lost to Clemson, but still. And then the second year, he leads them again, and he ends up handing it over to Tua in the second half. And, of course, Tua runs with it and almost wins the Heisman Trophy last season. You know, zero ego, willing to be a team player, and just an all-around great player for Oklahoma to pick up. Like I said, big shoes to fill, but Jalen Hurts is going to be able to do that this year.
All right, Steven, a couple of final things for you here as we look towards the 2019 college football season. Is it as simple as saying it's Clemson, Alabama, and everybody else, or do you have a couple of other teams that could disrupt this whole pre-planned national championship matchup that we've all done?
You know, I really think Alabama and Clemson are a cut above everyone else. But I do think Georgia is worth monitoring. They've had Alabama on the ropes in each of the last 2 years. They haven't been able to land that knockout punch, but they've been close. So I really think it's Alabama, Clemson, small gap to Georgia, and then there's a pretty significant gap to 4, 5, and 6. I think once you get outside the top three, 4 through 11 are kind of grouped together really close. But certainly, I think everything tells me we're going to see Alabama, Clemson part 5 this year.
All right, absolutely outstanding. You can read Steven Lassen on Athlon Sports, get all the great college football stuff. All right, Steven, all you have to do is wait till August 24th. And then you're going to have games on just about every day of the week.
Hey, that sounds like a great thing to me. I've been waiting all off season. I enjoy talking about it with you, but we'll certainly look forward to the games too.
Yes, absolutely. Same here. Hey, Steven, thank you very much. I appreciate your time. Nice job.
Anytime. Thanks a lot.
All right, Steven Lassen from Athlon Sports joining us, talking college football. First time we've had Steven on the show. Chris, I think you're batting about 1,000 with our first-time guests over the last year or so.
I just, if they can come on, they can come on. They write good articles, and I think there's some good talking points in there. So
it's not always the easiest thing to be a great writer and then, come on the radio or do the TV, but you've gotten some quality guys to come on.
I appreciate that.
Some good takes. So Steven Lassen, top 25 rising quarterback. So, yeah, if you go to that list of top 25 rising quarterbacks, you're not going to see Tua. You're not going to see, established guys like Sam Ehlinger or, Kelly Bryant, to use a local example. You're not going to see – these are kind of younger quarterbacks or guys that have a little bit of experience or 1 year that can really take a step forward, and it's an interesting read.
And actually, there's been a lot of talk about Adrian Martinez from Nebraska being a guy that could have a breakout season. Even on I think it was on one of the national ESPN shows. I think it was Laura Rutledge talking about Adrian Martinez was her, top player, like quarterback, to look out for of having a big season as well. So there's a lot of people talking about this Nebraska team, and there's a lot of Nebraska faithful here in Kansas City. It's been a little distant since they have left the Big 12, but this Scott Frost is trying to bring back the hype train and the good quarterback play, even though it's a different style of offense comparative to when they were back in, you know, the mid to late 90s. And also with the black shirt defense, you know, that kind of tradition, bring that tradition back to Nebraska.
Yeah, I'm just looking up a number real quick for you here, Chris, because we just had a huge cheer from the crowd.
Yeah, sounded like a huge play.
Well, it was an interception.
Oh,
and
nice.
So it was Kyle Schumer or Shermer was in at quarterback, so not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one DeMonte Ward.
DeMonte Ward
from Murray State made the interception. So, nah, not gonna make a big deal out of it. Just, you know, that's why you heard the cheer. Nothing happened with Patrick Mahomes. It was.
I remember last year when people were making a huge deal about training camp interception, and it doesn't really, to me, it doesn't matter because you're going to test the limitations of your offense in this training camp, whether it be 7-on-7 or, you know, live team 11-on-11. You got the Andy Reid and the offensive coaches, Eric Bieniemy, they want to test the limitations of what they can all throw at a quarterback. So I take interceptions with a grain of salt in training camp.
And with Kyle Shermer, I'm not sure I'm going to spend a lot of time
breaking that down. That doesn't matter.
That's okay. That's all right. All right, we're coming up on a timeout here. I have 1 half hour to go, and then we have 2 more straight through here from Chiefs training camp in St. Joe. Alec Trost and Darren are going to take over and take you from 5 to 7. Chris and I are going to finish our final 30-minute stretch here. We hope to get some press conference sound for you because the Chiefs are still practicing right now, so they should be wrapping up sometime between 5 and 5:30. Our training camp sponsors, Missouri Lottery, Mosaic Life Care, and GM. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bolig is running the show. You're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're broadcasting live from Chiefs training camp in St. Joe, Missouri. Day one for the open practices to the public. Got underway about 3:30. Fans were lined up around the block beginning early this morning. All the phones are up in the air in front of me right now, so I can't see a lot because the defensive linemen are hitting the sled. Now, normally, you would say defensive linemen hitting the sled. What's so big about that? Well, Chris Jones. That's what's so big about that. So everybody's excited to see Chris Jones. They got a nice ovation when they walk over towards the fans here. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bolig is running the show back at the studio. Wrap up a little bit of business from our last guest, and then we'll get back into the Chiefs. We were speaking with Stephen Lassen from Athlon Sports about rising quarterbacks and his picks for the national championship and kind of thinking along the lines of everybody else. It's Clemson, Alabama, and then a little bit of a gap to Georgia and then a drop-off after that. And Chris, you know, you can say you don't like to see the same thing over and over and over again, but I didn't mind the Golden State Warriors running to the championship, you know, 3, 4, 5 times in a row. It didn't bother me at all, and now we're going to have Alabama and Clemson. And if you want to see the best, then that's what you're going to see for now until the other schools can catch up.
Well, you kind of have had this over the years with certain, well, especially with Alabama since Nick Saban has got there. But even before that, when Urban Meyer was at Florida, they were consistently in it. They were always in the talks about it. Before that, it was USC. Remember how dominant USC was in that period? So this isn't uncommon in college football where you have a trend of 2 teams or maybe even 3 that are consistently at the top and always in contention. It usually revolves around certain coaches. You know, with Nick Saban being at LSU and winning there, and then now going to Alabama, you know, now Dabo Sweeney right now, and, of course, Pete Carroll at USC, and now he's gone on to the NFL and done great things there. But there's always, it seems like, at least in my lifetime, that there's always been a dominant team or 2 or 3 dominant teams that for a period of time have always been at the beginning of the season, okay, this is the for sure like team that is going to be at the end of the season, they're going to be in the talks for the national championship. And of course it's changed with having the playoff format instead of, you know, the BCS format and the computer system. So we'll see, but it's looking like Clemson and Alabama are for sure going to be at the top of that. They're the ones that are the heavy favorites above everyone else.
Yep. And outside of those top teams, and he mentioned Texas is kind of a favorite for the Big 12. Obviously, they are every year, but they've got the best quarterback in the conference in Oklahoma. You know, with Lincoln Riley, they're always going to be a factor. Outside of KU, K-State, and Mizzou, who we have to pay attention to, even when they're bad, The team I'm really going to take extra time to pay attention to this year is Iowa State. I think Purdy is a really good quarterback. Matt Campbell is a fantastic coach. And if Iowa State can get some sort of relevance, not only in the Big 12, but maybe a little bit nationally, I think that would be a really fun story.
Yeah, and I mean, of course, last season they had a lot of success, especially with David Montgomery. I can't remember if it was last year or the year before when they upset Oklahoma. I think it was 2 years ago when they upset OU, when Baker Mayfield was still at Oklahoma. But Matt Campbell has shown that he's not, of course, Iowa State's not going to get the best recruits, but he's been able to show that he can play defense in the Big 12. It's pretty impressive. It's similar to what Gary Patterson has done since TCU moved to the Big 12. Matt Campbell is kind of emulating that up in Ames right now.
Imagine that, playing defense in the Big 12.
I know, right?
doesn't
get much talk nationally, but the Matt Campbell showing that you can hold teams to less than 21 points in multiple games in the Big 12.
Yep. Speaking of defenses, we're broadcasting live here from Chiefs training camp in St. Joe. We've got 2.5 more hours to go. We are looking at the defensive line right in front of us. They're hitting the sleds and the dummies, and now they're moving back down to the field. I think they might do some 11-on-11 again here shortly. They're working on special teams right now, and unless you're a big Harrison Butker fan, I'm not sure why you'd have your phone out taping kickoff drills, but... You know, it's training camp. It is what it is.
There's some people that want to learn how to kick out there, probably some young ones.
Make some money.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the defense was just over here working out. Chris Jones got a huge ovation. And I think I didn't expect anything less than Chiefs fans to give him a standing ovation, because the folks that have been coming up here to St. Joe since Chris Jones was drafted know he's a really funny and solid guy. And I just think seeing him here doing the full drills, I didn't know if he'd maybe take that first day off, I thought was eminently important. Alec Trost is back. You want to jump back in? Okay. Just jump in here. Let me make sure I got your microphone on. We were just talking about Chris Jones and the fan. You interviewed some fans today, and the excitement level for Chris Jones is pretty – it's not Patrick Mahomes, okay?
Right.
But in this area where we broadcast from, the defensive line usually works out. Mm-hmm. And Chris Jones, even on days when the defensive line is not – the designated group to sign autographs, he's usually out here and he's holding babies and taking pictures and generally has a good time with the fans out here.
He's like the Pope, right?
A little bit.
Shaking hands, kissing babies, and signing autographs. No, Chris Jones is just a high character, high quality guy on and off the field. And that was the other thing when he, you know, made that decision not to hold out this season. What he brings to the culture of this team is incredibly important. Obviously, what he's able to do on the field and contribute as a player is equally important. However, what he can bring to the locker room and the leadership and just who he is and how he helps connect this team, and especially on the defense, despite being a younger player, he carries himself like a veteran, carries himself incredibly well, and especially among the fans. So everyone's so excited to have him back, and it does feel like this team is complete.
I don't have a third microphone here, but Darren's here as well. What are you guys planning from 5 to 7? What are you gonna do? Are you gonna with press conferences and?
Yeah, so we're hoping to get some sound from post practice. Hear what whoever's available, what they have to say. But yeah, I think the excitement is high, and I know the players are going to have a lot to say. Now that they've been able to feel the true support from the fans. This is the first time the fans have been able to, you know, participate in the Chiefs offseason, really. And I was up there on the hill as the players were walking down, and just the excitement, the cheers. As a player, I can only imagine how exhilarating that is, and
sure,
how that just makes this upcoming season that all of the players are already so excited for even more exciting to see Chiefs Kingdom out here the way that they are.
What I just found amusing for the last few minutes is fans are so excited right now. I just saw the camera phones go up about 5 minutes ago. Something's happening. No, it's special teams drills. And I'm like, okay, Harrison Butker, maybe he's got a fan crowd, but they're just the desire to film and take pictures of everything up here. It's just, you're filming a kickoff drill. And they're not even running full speed.
I know. even when they were literally stretching, and I had been walking, you know, kind of up and down by the bleachers and just you know, kind of taking in the whole experience. And people were stopping to take pictures of them stretching.
Hey.
Like, hey.
Might be your favorite person.
That's very true.
By the way, thank you for bringing the Sports Radio 810 magazines up here. If you're still in camp, and everybody's still, nobody's left, if you're listening or whatever, float over to the 810 WHB tent. We're right down next to the field. We've got the magazines out. It's got Patrick Mahomes on the cover. It's the Football Insider. It's free. That's the big thing. And it's got the nice clean pages on the inside where you can get autographs from the players. So thank you for bringing those up. Those boxes weigh, 100 pounds each? Good Lord.
I was the last one at the station Friday.
Right.
And it was like, oh, wait, Allie, we're just going to load these up in your car. My car was, like, riding so low because these things are so heavy. You would think that they've got, like, I don't know, cinder blocks in there. Nope, they're just magazines, but very heavy. And that's just because we have to bring so many down here because we're anticipating a large crowd. And that's exactly what happened today. An incredibly just wonderful show out from Chiefs Kingdom. And actually, I thought the most interesting thing that I found in talking to fans, for a lot of them, it was their first training camp.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that they've been fans for 10 years, 20 years. And so I think that just goes to show, you know, while Chiefs Kingdom is such a loyal fan base, you know, even before Patrick Mahomes has definitely brought some people to go above and beyond in their fandom and get them out here at St. Joe to watch just what could be a Super Bowl winning year for the Chiefs.
Right, and I believe this is year 9 in St. Joe, so it's well established, and it makes me feel old because I made many trips to River Falls years ago, which was a nice getaway, but you know, it's a much shorter drive to get to St. Joe a little bit.
45 minutes versus, it's a close drive, and I think that's what's so great, you know, for these fans is giving them the ability to, you know, if they can stay overnight in St. Joe and get the full training camp weekend experience, then they can do so. But if you just want to hop in your car and drive straight down, you can do that too. So
what position group are you looking forward to most? Because I've said for a couple of days now, I want to see the player I most want to watch is Juan Thornhill at safety and see how he works with Tyrann Mathieu. At corners, everybody's going to watch because the Chiefs have had so many troubles there. Mm-hmm. Mitch Holthus rolled out backup tight end the other day.
Yeah,
is something to watch because that's a crucial part of the offense, and the Chiefs don't have an established number two.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting because a lot of people do talk about Blake Bell and you know the Belldozer as we know, and I think what's interesting is his experience having played quarterback because if you remember too, Travis Kelce is also someone who has experience playing quarterback, and I think that's something you know with Andy Reid and just the offense that he runs and that West Coast offense system. It's important to have players who are versatile and have, you know, unique perspectives like that. He doesn't just want a one-trick pony. I mean, look at Patrick Mahomes, for example. Yes, he's just the quarterback, but the looks that he has and his wide range of abilities in that position, you know, Andy Reid looks for things like that, and I think that's what makes Blake Bell particularly appealing in that position. But another one that I'm looking forward to is just wide receiver. Obviously, there was a lot of, you know, talk and a lot of questions going into this season with all the uncertainty around Tyreek Hill and what his availability and even possibility of being back on the team this season. And now that it's pretty much solidified that he's going to be number one wide, I mean, he's back. He's playing this season. Takes a lot of pressure off Mecole Hardman. And really excited to see what happens with Sammy Watkins. Chiefs minicamp, OTAs. A lot of the talk was around how much more physical and just focused he seems. He's dealt with a lot of injuries in the past, but looking, feeling a lot healthier and his confidence going into this season. So I do think really excited to see what Sammy Watkins can bring.
All right, I do need to ask you a business question here because you and Darren are going to take over here at 5 o'clock. I'm going to go over to the press conference area. Do you have anything set up? Because I don't really know what I'm supposed to. You got it for me?
And I got a little
You got a little something to plug into the phone or whatever?
Oh, yeah, I got you. I got you. And this is courtesy of, you know, nowadays with the whole, like, they change the jacks all the time. You can't just plug in, like, a traditional headphone set.
Okay.
You got to go the Apple way or the highway, apparently. but I got one of the little dongles. Shout out to Danny Welniak, KCTV5, for bringing this for me. I didn't have time to get one. But, no, Brad, we got you all set up.
Okay.
We're going to be playing in the 5 to 7 o'clock hours some of the, you know, the press conference.
Right.
Press conference.
Any word, anything leaked out on who's going to
Heard some rumblings about Clark Hunt potentially.
I did hear that, maybe.
So we'll see if we get to hear from Mr. Clark Hunt himself. Be interesting to see his perspective. You know, now that training camp is about a week underway, obviously some changes that have happened, particularly with Chris Jones showing up, mm-hmm. being here for the 2019 season. He's not holding out, so curious to see what he has to say about that. And then, you know, just the upcoming season and what his goals and expectations are.
And I'm sure he'll be asked about Tyreek Hill as well.
Oh, yeah. That question, and I
That'll
forget
number one.
If this is something that, you know, I was being discussed on 810 or you know, another outlet that I was listening to, but the national, like, perception of Tyreek Hill versus the local one, is there's definitely not a consistency there. Mm-hmm. So while Tyreek Hill might, you know, there might be questions about him at the national level, you know, after games and, you know, just by national media, I don't know how long that story will stick unless future and new developments come out. About it, mm-hmm. in terms of in Kansas City, obviously for, you know, the next couple of weeks early into the season. But unless, you know, anything else comes up about it, I could see that, at least in Kansas City and at the local media level, kind of dying down.
Yep, absolutely. And now you're going to experience, when you guys take over from 5 to 7, you guys are going to find out what I found out. Fans are going to come over and get these magazines. While they're going to ask you while you're on the air, just hand them a magazine. So you got to take care of business.
Do you think that they're going to ask me to sign it? No way.
No. Don't want to devalue that. No offense. All right, on that note, we will take a final break here, and then we'll come back and wrap up hour number three, and then we'll be like a relay team. We had Maurice Green over here earlier, the Olympic sprinter.
Yeah.
So in that spirit, we will hand off the baton. Now, you guys are the anchor leg. I'm like the number three in line, and you guys are the anchor leg, taking it up to 7 o'clock.
A good little clever pun. That was really
there
nice.
There we go. Well, it's not every. All of a sudden, an Olympic gold medal shows up right behind you.
I mean,
throw them on the air.
What are the odds of that?
Slim.
Very slim.
All right, we will take a quick timeout. We are broadcasting live from Chiefs training camp in St. Joe. Our coverage brought to you by Missouri Lottery, Mosaic Life Care, and GM. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bolig is back at the studio. You're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Owner of the Lonely Heart, Chris Bolig, good call. A little 80s throwback for you. It's a way to close out a show. This is Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. We started late today. We started at 2 o'clock because we wanted to be on the air while the Chiefs were having their first open workout of the 2019 season. And our training camp coverage is brought to you by Missouri Lottery, Mosaic Life Care, and GM. So the gates opened about 2:30. Fans were running full speed to the area where the players come down from the workout area down to the field. And so they're pressed up against the gate trying to get autographs. Of course, the players cannot sign before the workout. They have to wait till after. But people wanted to stake out their positions, maybe snap some photographs. But we've had a good first day here and a first good 3 hours. We have two more to go. We'll wrap up our end of this at 5 o'clock, and then Allie and Darren will take over and go from 5 to 7. So 5 hours of Chiefs coverage. If you're still hanging around and want to stop by the 810 broadcast location, we still have the 2019 Football Insider magazines out. They are free. A high-gloss magazine. It looks fantastic. Patrick Mahomes is on the cover. Got some nice, shiny, clean pages on the inside where you can get the player autographs after practice and kind of keep that as a memento. So good stuff on this first day of open workouts for Chiefs Training Camp 2019. Also had a good show today, bouncing around on a number of topics. We spoke with David Leskey in hour number one about the Royals and all the moves they made today. Jake Diekman traded to the Oakland A's for a couple of prospects, a center fielder and a right-handed pitcher. And the Royals also DFA'd, designated for assignment Lucas Duda, recalled Ryan O'Hearn, and Ryan O'Hearn will be in the starting lineup tonight for the Kansas City Royals. And then there was one more move. Kyle Zimmer was recalled from AAA Omaha. So Kyle Zimmer will go to the bullpen unless they decide to experiment with the opener at the major league level.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. We'll see how soon they might implement that. Ned said at the beginning or earlier I think in the past like month, he's like, we just don't have the people to do it right now. Like, who are we going to use? Which I understand a little bit, but now you have two guys that have been doing it at the AAA level in Stamont and Zimmer that are up here right now. So might as well experiment with it right now going into the end of this season.
Yeah, and there's nothing to lose at this point. And they have not done it with Stamont yet. I think he just has the one outing, which was pretty decent. He got in trouble, which he's been kind of the hallmark of his career, but was able to work out of it a little bit. And heck, the kid throws 98, 99 miles an hour, which is just insane. It's normal in baseball now, but to me it's still a crazy thing. So the Royals are making moves, and they've got 3 or 4 days left before the deadline if they want to make another move or two. And Chris, I don't really see another hot product. I don't think they're going to budge on Whit Merrifield. I just don't.
No, I mean, John Morosi from MLB Network basically put that to rest when he reported that, I think, a few days back, that there's no way the Royals are interested in dealing Whit Merrifield at the moment. And it makes sense with how consistent he's been, the team-friendly contract, and they see him as a guy that is going to be here in the rebuild possibly. They might re-sign him after this contract is up, depending on where he's at in a couple years and how his health is.
Yeah, absolutely. Just give me a heads up on how much time we have left here, Chris, because the practice is breaking up, and we should have press conferences coming here shortly. So I'm going to make my way over to the press tent, and I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up right now so I can get over there because I'm already late. So it's the way it is. Thank you to Chris Bohlig. My name is Brad Porter. Allie and Darren are coming up next with two more hours of Chiefs coverage from St. Joe, Missouri. We'll see you next time.